360's The Week That Was, the most listened to hour in Territory Radio. The Territory leaders break down this week's big issues.
Well, we are in here, finally, just having a few technical issues. but we are here for The Week That Was, proudly brought to you by Mile and, well, actually, no, it's by BTC Constructions. What am I saying? Our 360 inbox is brought to you by Mile End Furniture, but The Week That Was is brought to you by BTC Constructions. From residential, commercial to project management, they cover all aspects of construction. And we're just having a few technical issues a little earlier this morning, but we are here and we're ready to go. And joining me in the studio this morning for The Week That Was, I have got the opposition leader, Leah Finocchiaro. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, listeners.
We have got the Attorney General and Health Minister, Natasha Files. Good morning.
Morning, Wolfie.
And we've got Kezia Purick, the Speaker of the Northern Territory's Legislative Assembly and also the Independent Member for Goyta.
Good morning, Katie. Where's my rum?
Well,
Kezia, it's only Friday.
Story. She's lost my rum
that
I bought at an auction.
No, I've got two bottles of it out there. But my boss may have had a little bit of your rum and he's got to replace it.
Naughty, naughty. Is that Mr. Harvey?
It is. You'll have to have a word to him. He's going to be embarrassed that I've outed him on air.
You need to explain the full story because Leah and I are most concerned that you two are drinking rum before 9 o'clock.
Well, and
we weren't offered any.
It was from that wonderful luncheon It's a Bloke thing where they raise funds and awareness for
it was excellent.
Back in the days when we could go to things.
That's right.
But that was probably actually the last major event
I
went to.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, they have auction items to raise funds and I bought two really special bottles of Bundy rum. I don't know, something special which I was going, I'm going to give to someone.
They're on my desk still.
Someone to raise funds and a carton of Bundy rum cans, 24 cans. And I think that's what you're saying, he's nicked some of them.
Yes, so he's replacing them for you. He said he's very sorry. He's going to replace them. But you can see those two fancy bottles of rum still on my desk over there. But funny story. Yes, so we've got them there. Don't worry. We'll make sure that you've got all your rum keys here. God knows we need our rum during these isolation days.
I'll get my snake onto you. That's another story, listeners.
Kezia did have a very large reptile at her home last night. We might share that, or have you already shared the photo on your Facebook page,
Kezia? No, not yet, but I'll put it up. It's about
a Katie and Kezia show.
Yeah, don't worry about politics or anything.
Natasha and I will get the popcorn.
Or government policy or no fireworks. I get a call at about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night from my mother. Quick, python alert, python alert. So you get the welding gloves, you get the boots, you get the torches, you round up the two stranded French backpackers who are staying with me and come from a big urban city in France. Come on, we've got to go down and catch this snake. It's stealing the ducks. So my sister was down there, but she was freelancing around on her Instagram trying to put photos up instead of trying to catch the snake.
Oh.
She said she had him by the tail and then she let him go.
Oh, goodness me.
To get the photo.
But you got there in the end.
No, snake's still hidden. Traipsing around the yard.
You could do a wanted poster with the photo.
Is territory living, friends. That's rural living,
rural
I think.
Living. And it's a very fat python.
Well, hey, let's get into the issues of the week. As much as we all know that snakes in your yard are definitely a big issue in the Territory, but obviously the coronavirus continues to dominate headlines, and we have heard this week that Territory Day, well, it is the latest of our wonderful events to be canned amid coronavirus restrictions. The Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, has assured Territorians that Crackenite will be back for 2021. Look, I guess plenty of us will be looking at this differently. We all understand that a lot of our major events have been cancelled, and I get that. But I would have thought that it was still going to be okay for us to let off our own personal fireworks in our yards.
Well, Katie, I just want to make a point of clarification, which I think I've seen other members of other political parties, not Leah's party, say that the government's cancelled Territory Day. Now, they haven't cancelled Territory Day. The 1st of July is still the day that we achieve self-government away from the Commonwealth. So that day is still there. That day will still be celebrated by Territorians, and I think there'll be recognition by government as well, you know, for whatever's happened in our history since we got self-government all those decades ago. What the government's come out and announced, as best I can understand, and I thought the Chief Minister was very good at explaining, the sale and the letting off of crackers and fireworks is not going to happen this year for public gatherings as well as for private. I hear what you're saying. Why can't, you know, just your family do it in your front garden? But the reality is that's not what happens. The reality years, you get big groups of people come together in a street, and yeah, it's a lovely time, and they're usually very careful. I get you that. But I think also that the fact that the sellers or the wholesalers said, look, we just don't want to do it this year for a range of reasons, and the fact that, you know, our emergency personnel, our medical, our health, our ambulance, our police are very, very preoccupied. And I want them to be preoccupied looking after our community.
Leah. So, yeah, but I mean, look, Territory Day is on the 1st of July. This is a day of great celebration for the Territory. It's an important milestone. Achieving self-government is so significant. And the unique way in which we celebrate that by being allowed to have, you know, the use of personal fireworks, the big government put on displays at Mindle Beach, etc., it's terrific. It sets us apart from the rest. People really look forward to it. It symbolises so much for us. It really embodies the freedoms that we have and the lifestyle we have here in the Territory. I think the government has just not tried hard enough on this issue. You know, 1 July is some months away. It's, you know, we don't know what the landscape is going to look like that far ahead. And in any event, I think Territorians have really shown that they are listening to, on the whole, listening to and acting on the correct health advice. You know, we've just gone through Easter and people have been really good at observing the physical distancing requirements, the isolation requirements, the gathering requirements. I really think the government's jumped the gun here. I don't think they've tried hard enough. And I think at this time when people really desperately need something to look forward to, it's just another blow landed on Territorians.
Also, right from the outset, I'm not, like, I don't care whether I'm allowed to let fireworks off either way. It doesn't really bother me on a personal level, but I tend to agree with the sentiment that I think that there's a lot of people that are going, oh, hang on a second, well, you know, was something that we're looking forward to. We understand that those big public events can't take place, but why can't we still let off a few crackers in our yard?
But even with the big public events, I mean, I would have thought the government would go ahead with a fantastic Mindle Beach display, but live broadcasted on our televisions, on our Facebook, so that people can still enjoy. I mean, it's always beautifully choreographed to music. You know, it's something that can come straight to our phones, straight to our iPads, straight into our homes. And it's still a celebration. I mean, it's
so
just,
you think they just didn't try hard enough?
They just
enough
haven't
here,
tried hard enough. I mean, there's been no exploration of how else this could have been done. I mean, even if postponing it, I mean, it just seems like nothing was on the table. The government's unilaterally come in and just said, nah, we're not doing it.
If they did postpone it, I think it should go back, and I've said this before, and lots of people agree, go back to the 5th of November, which is what Crackers and Fireworks is all about, celebrating Guy Fawkes trying to blow up the British Parliament. You know, so if you're going to postpone it, put it back to the day that it was when we were all kids growing up here. But, you know, I hear what Leah's saying, and I don't have any issues with it. But the other thing is, you know, the government may well be planning other things. Now, I've seen them on videos and I've seen them through YouTube or whatever, spectacular laser light shows, not only here in Australia, but in particularly in places like Hong Kong, and they are the equivalent of a massive fireworks. I get it. It takes a lot of coordination, but it's all computer-generated. So how do we know that something's not been planned?
The other thing I want to point out here as well, though, is the use of personal fireworks. You know, you've actually got a lot of retailers around the Northern Territory who sell those fireworks. Now, obviously, that means that it's money that they would bring in for, you know, on that day. It's money that they do actually make each and every year. There's that onflow to the economy, and I get that absolutely everybody's feeling the onflow to the economy at this point in time, so that doesn't make our fireworks retailers any different to anybody else. But Filesy, yesterday at the press conference, the Chief Minister said, you know, it's about not putting pressure on our hospitals at the moment. My understanding is last year there was about 3 injuries. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it was 17.
But no, Katie, it's more than that.
Katie,
it's more than
I pick
3.
Up on a point that Leah said. The Territory is unique. Right now, the Northern Territory is one of the most unique places in the world. We don't have community transmission of coronavirus. Our measures, the tough measures, are about saving lives. And this is an unprecedented health crisis. None of us could have imagined this. As someone born and bred, Cracker Night is some of my favourite memories, and now I get to enjoy those with my children and my neighbourhood. But 2020 is not the year. And it is devastating to have to say that. Part of talking about the suppliers, the conversations have been had with those importers. And part of this is allowing them to have that certainty, because they would be well into ordering. In fact, those fireworks would be coming into the country in the coming weeks. They needed that certainty. And we are facing this health crisis. We are putting in place tough measures.
measures to save the lives of Territorians. And we talk about it months away. It's not. It's around 11 weeks away. And unfortunately, coronavirus, the impact is, as the Chief Minister said, going to go on for months.
I guess the argument then also moves to, if we can't have, if we can't do that on Territory Day, how are we still heading to the polls on August 22? Which is, I know that it's about 6 weeks later, 5 or 6 weeks later, but then a lot of people are questioning, well, if you're not allowed to do that in your own yard and you're not able to, you know, to let off your own personal fireworks, how are we then in a situation where we're heading to the polls, where we all know that when we go and vote, there's certainly other people around?
So in terms of Cracker Night, you're talking about people will naturally congregate. They're only available on the day of Territory Day, so you're forcing queues and crowds. In terms of the election, the Electoral Commissioner is looking at how he can hold that election and what measures he can put in place to protect Territorians. But these are really difficult times and we don't have all the answers. But what we have said is that to give those suppliers certainty in the midst of the coronavirus emergency, that 2020 Territory Day will still be celebrated, but it will be celebrated differently. But 2021, those crackers will be back and it will be a celebration Territorians are used to.
I mean, I just don't trust that Labor will ever bring crackers back if they get rid of this. You know, I really don't trust them. And honestly, Natasha, so is the government position now that we can't have Cracker Night because of COVID-19 and because of the health and safety issues around it? I mean, yesterday the Chief Minister was sort of talking it up more around an issue of supply. You know, there are so many ways in which you could do this. You could change how fireworks are bought. You could put limits on. I mean, if we can go to other shops and physical distance and standing queues appropriately, you know, with the right planning, this could be done safely. I mean, people are on the whole very responsible. We're talking about many, many weeks, you know, over two and a half months away. You know, it just seems like a knee-jerk reaction.
So, Leah, if the CLP wins, will you make sure that the crackers return?
Oh, absolutely, Katie. There's no question about that. It's an important part of our celebration. It has to be done safely. It has to be done responsibly. And on the whole, that's exactly what Territorians
do. And Falsey, can you guarantee to our listeners that this is just for this year?
Of course. And Katie, when we talk about these unprecedented times, we have had events, international events, sporting events, like I don't think any of us could imagine. No AFL, no NBA.
No Darwin Cup.
You know,
but they're team sports with team activities. This is an individual activity.
You can try and paint it any way you want, Leah, but the facts are the facts. We're in an unprecedented health crisis. In terms of the suppliers, we have spoken to them. They understand it. Of course they're disappointed. Everybody's disappointed. But the facts are the facts. We're in an unprecedented health crisis and we're focused on saving the lives of Territorians. And we've done that to date. We don't have that community transmission and we'll continue that work. And in 2021, crackers will be back.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
It is just on 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. It is The Week That Was, proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions. Now, there has been so much happened this week, and we know that we've got plenty of restrictions in place when it comes to the coronavirus and our social distancing.
Physical distancing.
All right.
Very keen on the lingo.
Yes. Socially in touch.
Well, Falsey, I understand that you're going to be making an announcement today, I think, about some random testing. Well, some random testing.
Testing regime?
Katie, yesterday the Prime Minister, the Chief Minister of the States and Territories had National Cabinet, mm-hmm. and one of the conversations was around we've done a really great job in Australia. There's still over 6,000 cases of coronavirus and we're certainly seeing outbreaks of community transmission. And I think it's important to remind Territorians we don't have that community transmission, mm-hmm. but look what happened in Tasmania. One case suddenly shut down two hospitals. So it can spread quickly. In terms of the testing, that's the next phase of understanding the coronavirus and then possibly making those adjustments into the future.
So what's it sort of mean? If I've got a bit of a tickle in my throat, I can go and have a random test? Or what's the go?
So there's a few different points, Katie. So Paul Kelly, he's the Assistant Chief Medical Officer nationally. He announced this week that through GPs, anyone that has a respiratory type symptom, illness, can be tested for coronavirus. That was an extension of the testing. Now, all of these decisions have been made clinically, but as more testing capability comes about, we can therefore expand that. In terms of the federal government, and I spoke to Ken White, the federal minister for Indigenous Affairs this morning, the federal government has announced $3.3 million, I think it is, to roll out 83 point of testing, point of care testing across remote communities, regional communities. So that's a really important announcement from the federal government. And that's those quick turnaround tests. So in less than an hour, people can find out if they're COVID-19 positive or if it's a flu or a coronavirus. So there's a number of aspects. So I'll just be going out with one of the health officers to talk about this,
Katie. Do you think that is all of this really going to help us to ultimately get to the point where we know we've got no community spread at this point in time? But I guess the argument in the back of some people's minds is, well, do we know because there's not enough testing going on? So is it going to help us in terms of working out that there's definitely not any cases out there within the community that we're unaware of?
That's the end game. So, Katie, what we've with the coronavirus, there's no cure. There's no vaccine at the moment. So we have to manage this. And so what we have seen tragically overseas in New York, for example, with the field hospitals in Central Park, is that they just lost control. It just spread so rapidly, they couldn't care for the people that were sick. And so for us, the more time we've had, our hospital is so prepared. Our medical professionals have had time. And we also have put in place a range of those physical distancing measures. All the measures have saved lives, but it's how do you adjust those?
Well, that's right.
You still keep the coronavirus out from that massive community spread that you've seen in countries overseas.
I think what is what the next phase of this really needs to be is for Territorians to understand what the future looks like. So I think people completely understand that government can't guess a time frame, but people want to know the metrics. What does this look like? You know, what are the criteria? Because we're starting to hear other jurisdictions around the world talk about certain criteria. And I think that would be really helpful for people to understand. We've got to, government have got to have a more open dialogue with the community around this so that people can understand what that looks like. So if there's five criteria, if there's 10 criteria, what they are, so that people can track in their own mind how we're sort of moving through this phasing.
And we understand the frustration. It's just not black and white. It's just not easy. In the Territory, we're doing a great job in the Territory.
We are.
But look at the top of WA, the Kimberley. They had an outbreak. So we have to work with other jurisdictions.
And look, I don't think that anybody's calling for the borders to open at this point in time. I think what we're hearing quite loudly and clearly from, you know, from some is that given the fact that we don't have that community transmission, obviously our borders are closed off. So if we don't have cases in the Northern Territory, Leah's point on what does it look like then in terms of lifting those restrictions. We'd sort of heard, I can't remember who had said it yesterday because it's been said a couple of times, that maybe the way that that lifting then happens is the same way that it was implemented, but in reverse. So, you know, the places that were shut last are obviously the ones that will reopen first. I mean, is that something that the government, the Northern Territory government, is talking about at this point in time? What steps and what, you know, how exactly when the time comes? And no one's suggesting it's next week or anything like that. We all understand that there's a time frame that we need to wait and that we've got to make sure that there's not any spread first. But what would it look like when we get to the point that we are able to have some of those restrictions lifted?
Katie, I think what, if I can jump in, Natasha, I think...
Of course, Dr. Purick.
Yeah, Dr. Purick. Medical doctor, not a PhD doctor. I think what needs to happen, and Leah and myself and others get a briefing every week from the boss of health and the police commissioner, whatever the government does and whatever decision it makes has to and will be made on medical evidence and advice.
For sure. Yep.
And I think that must be stressed, you know, to the broader community. And I know people do get it, but I think we just have to keep reiterating it so they do accept it. Now, no one takes away from the pain, the suffering, the loss of jobs, the economic slump, and people are just so clever in coming up with ways to try and keep making their business work. But I think a whole lot of data still has to be collected. And I think that's what Natasha's alluding to, is you've got to know how many people are we testing in the territory, you know, and what are the results? And then do we need to expand the testing?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we're talking about.
The modelling has to be done.
It's what does that look like? Not when and how many and sort of anything definitive, but what sort of measures will the government be looking at? And there might be a bunch of them. You know, if we have none of this and if we have none of that and if we don't have this and if we do have that and we do have that, then we will look at it and people can sort of start to track that along themselves. You know, it gives people clarity around what are we working working towards here.
And I think also mostly the hospitality tourism industry.
That's been hit the beauty industry, yes. The fitness industry. There's so many industries, I don't think it's as black and white
as what you were saying in terms of the last things to shut down will be the first things. Yep. It won't be that. It'll be what adjustments can we make within our everyday lives to allow some of these businesses and to allow some of us to receive services that clinically protect us the most. So, and it will be based on that clinical evidence, and we need to have that screening, we need to have that testing, and that's why, you know, for example, that announcement around the point of care testing is so important. There's so many aspects to it.
Are these discussions that the Northern Territory Cabinet are having right now, are you actually saying to each other, okay, well, at what point do we start to look at this and look at whether we lift some of these restrictions? I know that, you know, Gladys Berejiklian has said in New South Wales that they're certainly having discussions about it. There are other jurisdictions that are having discussions. Now, no one's suggesting that that means they're going to be lifted in 2 weeks or anything.
So, Katie,
but it's providing a bit of insight for people.
So the National Cabinet, led by the Chief Medical Officer and AHPPC, that Public Health Principal Committee, they are having these discussions. And yes, in turn, that feeds into the cabinets around Australia. There is a couple of, every community is unique. Now, New South Wales has had quite large cases. They've had an outbreak. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that in the territory. So therefore, that makes us different first up. The other point is our population has a lot of underlying health issues, so that makes us more vulnerable. So there's individual factors and circumstances that have to be taken into account. But what we can say to Territorians is, from the measures we've put in place, we have saved lives, and that's what this is about. But it will be done based on that clinical advice, and we will share the information. So where we're at this week is talking to that testing and how that's being expanded and those different aspects.
And look, I guess the point that I'm getting to is that people have been so good. You know, like on a whole, people have been so good. They've been really adhering to the restrictions. In fact, you know, when I see vision from other states and territories, I think, geez, the Northern Territory is leading by example. Mm-hmm. We're actually doing the right thing.
We are probably the safest place in the world right now.
It's going to get to a point where if we don't have community spread and we continue to go down the great path that we are, and I know that we're literally one case away from it not being that way and from it spreading, but if we continue to go down the path that we're on, I think that people's, you know, like that people will become a little bit less patient and think, well, hang on, why can't I have a barbecue with my friends? You know, if there's not that community spread and if we're being really well behaved here.
Katie, some of those things you can still do now. I mean, the recommendation is you only have 10 people at your home or at a barbecue, but just be sensible about how you go about it. The other thing too, you know, I'm a sort of a believer that from bad often comes good, and you know, I'm not downplaying the coronavirus and the loss of life, but one of the things that's coming out of this, and I participate in a thing called flu tracking, where you every week you say whether you've got a flu or cough, you've had your needle, and they've expanded the questions, and there was a summary they sent to me, and I'm sure they sent it to everyone around the country. What this has done, this social distancing, has also dropped remarkably the spread of influenza and colds and head
everything
colds and
else.
All that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's perhaps it's just a, you know, there'll be lots of takeouts from this, you know, when it's all said and done, and hopefully we've got a vaccine and back to normal life. And I think just personal hygiene and how we go about our business as humans is going to actually teach us a lot.
But Katie, certainly hear that point. So, you know, there is frustration, and I think we all have it in our everyday life. We're not living how we used to live, and there's a point of frustration at some point in your day. And then for those people that have been impacted with their jobs and their businesses, that of course is then heightened.
Yeah, and it's not so much, I reckon, frustration with people. I think it's more survival, like for businesses as well, thinking, you know, it's not that they're angry about it or anything. It's more that they're thinking, well, what hope have I got down the tunnel? You know,
what can people tell me? There's really good hope.
Look at the Northern Territory. Yes. Who would have thought that the Northern Territory would have zero community transmission at this point? Now, it could happen this afternoon. It could happen next week, next month. Who would have thought the Northern Territory would be showing Western Australia, Tasmania? And do you know where that came from? That came from our ability to step up when we were asked. Mm. I cannot thank the community enough. When Howard Springs, the evacuees from Wuhan and the cruise ship, that taught us so much. Our hospitals are are so prepared. Our clinical professionals, we've had time to get the flu vaccine into the territory without the outbreak. There's so many good points. And so I know people, it's Friday, normally we'd be planning our weekends, the weather's changing. And so it's all of those emotions that people are going through. But at the end of the day, we just thank people.
Let's take a very short break. There is so much to cover off on this morning. You are listening to The Week That Was, proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions. It is just on 22 minutes away from 10 o'clock. All right, we've got the whole crew in here for The Week That Was. I have got Leah Finocchiaro, Natasha Files and Kezia Purick. Now, we know the home improvement scheme. Well, the deadline for applications has, I thought that it was until October, but obviously we all understood as well that it was until the money ran out. But due to the overwhelming success of the home improvement scheme, the government have said that they're expanding it and extending it to help more households and save more jobs. There are currently 9,571 applications in for the home improvement scheme vouchers. To make sure that as many Territorians as possible can benefit, the government say that they're doubling the investment to $60 million and extending the work program for another 6 months. Now, people have got, though, until 5 p.m. today to get their applications in to be considered for these vouchers. Now, I want to make that really clear to everybody listening. You've got until 5 p.m. today. Now, those goalposts have changed. There's no doubt about that. Luckily, you know, I've certainly put in an application. My husband and I, we got ours in yesterday. And yesterday when I went on the website, it still said that it was open until October. That has changed, obviously, what it says on that website now. But I think there's going to be quite a few disappointed people, and there's going to be some real busy tradies trying to get those quotes done.
Yeah, look, first and foremost, the scheme is fantastic. I mean, the CLP first created the tradie scheme. We called for Greener, Safer Homes tradie scheme prior to government announcing this one. It's brilliant, and that's why people have jumped on it. It creates jobs. It spends money through our economy. It's great. So don't get me wrong there. What's not great is the lack of communication. The government really should have communicated better with how the scheme was tracking, because we have a situation now where people, homeowners, have to scramble to get things in by 5 p.m. today. But also, I was hearing that a lot of tradies had actually stopped quoting for the scheme because they couldn't complete the works in the requisite 3 months period that the government have set. Now, all of a sudden, yesterday, it's announced that they've got 12 months to do the works, which means those tradies will miss out.
Yes, so this is the other thing. So this is the thing that I found a bit odd yesterday when I went on the website last night. It says there's an important notice, and it says the home improvement scheme will close to new applications on Friday the 17th of April 2020 at 5 p.m. All applications submitted before this time will be assessed, and if approved, they'll be honoured. Applications will be assessed and approved in stages so that the work is spread out over the next 12 months. Now, that's another thing that I wasn't aware of. I thought that this work was all going to be undertaken. The whole aim of it was to stimulate the economy now. You know, I get that in 12 months' time, we are probably still going to need the economy stimulated. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, my understanding of it was that the work's going to come through as quickly as possible. I guess what I worry about now with a lot of people who've had those quotes done, and a lot of people that are looking at having that work done, are their quotes still going to be valid? Like, are we in a situation here where we might not get approved for 6 months? What's the go?
I think what Leah said is correct. You know, you've got to have really clear communication and publicity about this, because I know a lot of people just in the last, someone just sent me a text. They didn't know it was closing today, they'll be upset. You know that they've missed out, because everyone wants to try and, if they can come up with a $1,000 and $2,000, you know that they can't, you know, maximise the return to the community and to business. But I think there just needs to be some really clear advice from government about this. You know, whether it means they've just got to detail it on their websites and talk publicly about it at media conference, I don't know. But it is good. We all know it's good. I'm doing electrical work for a shed.
Yep.
And I put my stuff in, my quote in, and they said it'll be 15 working days to assess it. Now, I know that's probably because they're busy, but
yeah,
that sounds a long time to assess it.
Yeah, well, we've just got to stop these snap decisions from government, because it doesn't allow people time to prepare. I mean, I'm also hearing that lots of businesses who been registered for the scheme still haven't made their way onto the website.
Yeah,
so, you know, there's obviously been a lot of demand, and I'm sure the public service running the scheme have been doing an excellent job in trying to get it done. done. Yeah. I mean, they would have been really pushed. But, you know, just to snap announce this, you know, we're starting to see these decisions come from government out of nowhere, giving people very little time to plan and prepare, which it's not good enough. We really deserve to have more information at this time.
So, Katie, the scheme's been an overwhelming success. Nearly 10,000 applications yesterday. We have increased the amount that is available under that scheme. In terms of extending it, it's allowing the work to be done. So there's been so many vouchers that will be issued. Mm-hmm. It's making sure everyone can get that work done, giving tradies longer to participate in it. Of course, people are going to be frustrated. I know last time I remember we announced it, you know, similar time frame, you know, that we'd received this many applications and that the scheme would be closing. And so we're just encouraging people to get them in by 5 o'clock today. Then what will happen is those applications will be assessed in terms of, you know, the new date order of them coming in. And then on the quotes, they actually say, the quote says within 30 days of the voucher being issued.
It will.
Yeah, so it will.
Because then for others, that's the guidelines. For some trades, and hey, look, I'm really happy for any trade out there listening to correct me if I'm wrong, but for some trades, you obviously do that quote based on the amount that you can buy, you know, get your supplies from your manufacturer or whoever buy, you know, for that amount. So then if it gets extended or if you're then looking at, you know, you've done a quote and you've put on there 45 days or whatever, then if it gets sort of stretched out further than that, are you still going to be able to get the supplies for the same amount? Now, none of us can answer that, because we're not tradespeople. So we don't know whether that trade's still going to then be able to deliver the job for the same amount as what they've quoted.
So when the businesses sign up and become part of the scheme, they need to have that within 30 days of the voucher being provided.
But that was when the work was going to have to be done within 3 months. So it's an entirely different ball game.
But in terms of the program, obviously it's been overwhelmingly taken up by Territorians. People are finding, as Kezia said, that $1,000, $2,000 to then leverage and get the government money out there flowing.
It does definitely sound as though we're going to need Katie, a bit of clarification.
In terms of this, the businesses I've spoken to are really supportive. They're supportive that the scheme has been extended and they can flow that work out for a longer period of time. And so we just encourage people, get your quotes, get it in by 5 o'clock today. We've provided more into that allocation of funding so that everyone that gets a voucher participate.
I've got a message here from one of our listeners that says, my husband and I have been in mandatory isolation. We haven't had the chance to have a quote as we need to. When I spoke last week to the government, I was told it was okay as we've got until October. We now need to get the application by today. We miss out. This is totally unfair.
And you have to have a quote. And you have to have a quote to go with your application.
And you've got to have your photo ID uploaded.
Katie, this is just
two
one
quotes,
measure.
Two quotes
so
with your application.
In terms of jobs, this is a scheme that tradies have loved it previously. We've rolled it out. Businesses, tradies are very grateful that that work flow is coming out. It's just one part of lots of different elements to try and help our economy.
Look, this is going to be tough today. We've got a lot of messages coming through right now. There's another one. I asked a landscaper last week to do a quote who couldn't do the quote until next week. Now I miss out, not happy.
But Katie, on the point of that, 10,000 people have got quotes. 10,000 people are going to inject that money, $60 million, into our economy. So
what's your message to those that are missing out?
So this is a scheme that I think this is the third iteration of the Home Improvement Scheme. I've never applied before. I have a quote this time, so I'll see how I go. But this is a scheme that's injecting $60 million out there into our economy to those mums and dads, local businesses, tradies, so they can get out there and
do work.
It's
an excellent scheme. I don't think anyone's disputing that. It's just, again, the communication, the snap decision-making, the changing of goals.
I was the minister that made the announcement previously. The scheme came to an end previously. This scheme is coming to an end. This is just one measure to get jobs and economy flowing.
So to those who have missed out and who are going to miss out today, what would you say to them?
Well, I think we need to focus on the 10,000 plus people that will get vouchers, that will inject that money into our economy. And of course, we're looking at every measure across the territory to make sure that we keep a range of industries and businesses employed.
Katie, the text message is going off.
Perhaps not. This tradie scheme, obviously, it's got a finite time, but, you know, perhaps the government and the business departments should be looking at like kind of schemes. Like one that was undertaken a few years back now was the tank rebate scheme. So if you put in a water tank or guttering or things
snakes to hide in,
it was a similar scheme. You put up so much money and then you went and did the work. Now, I know that's only a niche market, but that employs your plumbers, your roofers, and people who make the guttering, people who make the tanks, your pressure pumps, your piping, all those kind of people. So it might not be an all-encompassing tradie scheme, but the government might continue to look at initiatives and schemes that not only have we done here in the past, but perhaps elsewhere. Maybe just more research needs to be done to find out, you know, for a small expenditure by the owner, if they can afford it, we can multiply as Natasha
said. Well, I think we need to try and look at something. The extension up to 12 months is so that that work can be done, so those tradies can do that work. The tradies we've spoken to are happy, and so this is just one measure to try during really tough times to keep people employed.
There's another message here. It says, Katie, I'm a tradie who applied to be a part of this scheme on the 31st of March. I'm still not on the list of businesses. I've been told I'm on the list. And they'll get back to me, which was fine when this was going for 6 months. But if things end today, does this mean my business just missed out?
Yeah, and there's plenty like that. I've heard of plenty like that.
Look, it's going to be a tough one. I think we're going to hear a lot more about this. Like I said, the text line's going berserk. The phones have lit up. So no doubt this will be a discussion that we'll continue to have after 10 o'clock this morning. We're going to take a very short break, though, because there's something else I want to chat about this morning. There's still about three things, but I think we'll only be able to top off. Well, we're going to have to talk about school going back on Monday. And yes, there's lots on the agenda. We'll see what we can fit in before 10. You are listening to Mix 104.9's 360, proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions.
If you missed the 2020 Retro Countdown during the week, then shame on you. But do not despair. You can hear the best of it every Sunday night from 6 with 2020 Retro Rewind. Only on the station that's 100% NT, Mix 104.9.
If you're responsible for mobilising large or small groups of people, you need the flexibility of Coach Charters Australia. Providing coaches and buses for 2 to 2,000 people, they specialise in defence and government passenger transport. Need to organise private charters or major events? Or get your work crew to and from work? Call Coach Charters Australia. Need a road train? Guess what? Call Coach Charters Australia Freight. Coach Charters Australia. Doing it local, doing it right. ISO quality, environment and OHSAS accredited.
BTC Constructions, they are a professional team who specialises in renovations, fit outs, extensions and project management for both commercial and residential projects. The best thing that BTC Constructions have built is a great reputation, and you can only build a great reputation if you deliver what you say you will and you do it on time. BTC Constructions is responsible for numerous fit outs across Darwin and Palmerston, both old and new, from adding a new fence to your property to updating your corporate office. BTC Constructions delivers quality service and they understand the need for minimal disruption on tight timeframes. No project is too big or too small, and you can take advantage of the Northern Territory's Home Improvement Scheme and get those renovations done. Eligible homeowners who've not received a voucher through the Home Improvement Scheme are able to apply for a voucher of up to $10,000, so don't miss out. Contact BTC Constructions by looking them up online at allthews.btcconstructions.com.au. BTC Constructions, they've built a reputation for building.
At Celebration Superstore, we know that right now, convenience is everything. That's why there's never been a better time to head to our four-lane drive-thru. Grab a 30-pack of 4X Gold for $48 or Great Northern Crisp for $52. And don't forget to grab some toilet paper while you're here. Kiss, we've got convenience covered at Celebration Superstore Pinelands. Locally owned and operated.
You are not alone during these challenging and uncertain times. Team Health NT is there to support you with a dedicated phone support line, Team Talk. If you're feeling isolated, distressed, or you just want to talk, Team Health's experienced team will listen. There's no judgment, just practical strategies and advice for you and your family. For a free confidential chat, call Team Health's Team Talk on 1800 832 600 or find Team Health online.
Big brands, big deals. It's Joyce Main's Big Brand Sale. Get bonus local delivery on Fisher & Paykel fridges, freezers, laundry, dishwashers and cooking appliances. Fisher & Paykel stainless steel dishwasher, $1,588. Fisher & Paykel 519-litre stainless steel French door fridge, $1,999. Huge deals on hire like a 7.5-kilo front load washer, $549. It's Joyce Main's Big Brand Sale. Ends Monday. Joyce Main.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
It's 8 minutes away from 10 o'clock and there has been so much happened this week for The Week That Was. And, of course, I have got in the studio with me Leah Finocchiaro, Natasha Files and Kezia Purick. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about school going back on Monday. I know for me, I've said this on numerous occasions throughout the week, I feel quite comfortable sending my children back to school given the fact that we don't have that community transmission. But I know that some of our teachers really aren't feeling the same way.
Katie, the core of this is the inconsistent messages from government. Now, I've got, obviously, Timmyman College, which is a big school in my electorate. They've got about 1,200 students and hundreds of teachers. Now, they're going to want, well, there's guidelines for the lollipop people and the children crossing the roads. There's the distancing that's appropriate for that. But no one has talked about the school buses. Who is going to look at the hygiene in the buses? Who is going to look at the don't, you know, muck around on the buses and touch each other? That hasn't been looked at. I mean, my schools in the, but you know, particularly the Timmyman being the biggest, they've got organised. They know how to deliver the education.
Yeah.
But they don't know how many students are going to turn up. Like they've got, they've worked out, you know, if we, if the school's closed, you know, if that's a model, is it's going to be half classroom, half delivery? You know, can we deliver it online? Like, you know, teachers can do that, you know, with all this modern technology. So the schools know how to deliver the education. They're quite good at that. But what's inconsistent is the buses, the travelling to school, you know, the sports and things of that nature. And, of course, why is it okay to have lollipop and distancing crossings going to a school, but then it's okay to just squish all these children back into a school? And, of course, the teachers are concerned because we know we have a slightly ageing population, so a lot of the teachers, you know, like myself, in their 60s or whatever.
Are you a teacher, Kezia?
No,
ageing. Where are you getting your degrees? Your Weet-Bix box?
So what I'm saying to government and the minister is your messages are not consistent. You are not tackling this properly. And the parents, I know one of my schools, Humpty Doo Primary School, a lot of the parents in that area were keeping their children home and homeschooling them, you know, with the assistance of teachers. So the government's got to get the consistency of messages. If I had children right now and the school went back next week, I wouldn't be sending them. Because not because the school's not good and the teachers aren't good and they know what they're doing. It's just they're not getting clear direction from the government to go about their business safely.
So, Katie, each school has done an amazing amount of work and we need to acknowledge those teachers. Yes. They had those pupil free days before the week's holiday and I hope that some of them have managed to get a break this week. In terms of the schools, they had put in place measures last term and that has continued. We've been working with the education department, that is the health department, but schools were already ahead of the game. They had that clear messaging up. They'd put in place messages such as parents not being allowed into the school grounds. We have no community transmission of coronavirus. Our schools are safe. The most important thing for our children is to continue to learn in that safe, healthy environment. Each school has those pandemic plans. They have the principals have undertaken work with their individual staff. I know that there's some staff, whether they're a little bit older, whether they've got underlying illnesses, they have been cared for through this process, Katie. So there has been so much work undertaken.
So why do you reckon there's teachers, you know, all of them have taken part in this survey, or the such a high number, 700 odd, have taken part in this survey, and a large majority of them, or two-thirds of them, have said that they don't feel safe and that they feel worried?
Because the government hasn't been consistent. I'm not talking about Natasha and her role, but the Minister for Education has not been consistent in giving good, clear advice, I think, anyway, from my school's perspective.
Katie, in terms of the coronavirus, of course, it's all that we're talking about, it feels like, in the news bulletins. In terms of the teachers that I'm friends with, that I've spoken to, they certainly feel that their principals are supporting them. And this is individual school environments, the school council coming together with the principal, working out what's best for that school. Every school is different, from the makeup of the students, to the teachers, to the physical environment. And but what I've seen and what I've heard, our schools have done an amazing job of creating those safe spaces.
Yeah, I feel the same. I know that at the school that my kids are at, I feel like the communication's been really good. I feel as though I'm not worried about them going back on Monday, but it worries me then when I think, well, 700 odd teachers have said that they're not comfortable going back to school. I think I don't want any of my children's teachers to feel like they're not in the mental frame of mind where they're able to educate the kids.
I was talking to a parent this morning when I was walking the dog, and she had kept her children home for the last 3 or 4 weeks of term.
Yep.
She was anxious. She said, we didn't know if there was community transmission. I don't know where that child's parent has been. Have they just come back from an interstate conference, for example? But at this point, and we need to make, you know, put that into context, it's day 10 or 11. We hope there's no community transmission and more cases in the next couple of days. But we're in that different space. We have acted on those border measures tough and early so that we can protect the territory environment. And so for her, she was saying, I feel a lot more confident now that we've had that clear space that we know people aren't coming in and out of the territory and picking it up from the East Coast.
Yep.
So that was a key factor for her.
And that's where the consistency of message is so important. I think I said yesterday, you know, if teachers are feeling unsafe, but the health advice is that it is safe, then that's a reflection on government's inability to engage that group of people and explain to them why it is safe. And they deserve to understand that. So if there is that feeling in the community, which I have no doubt there is, I have no doubt there's some parents who still feel like, what am I supposed to do? Is this the right decision to make? Teachers feeling apprehensive or concerned about the mixed messaging of it, then that's really where government has to come in. I mean, we've had the Minister for Education be wishy-washy about it. We've had the Chief try and come in and be a bit stronger on it. And it just hasn't played out well because people still feel like, you know, what am I meant to do here?
Every aspect of our life has changed. We're all doing things differently. Even when we go to the grocery store, it's different to what we did a month ago. And our schools have adjusted and they are a safe place for our students to go into. And I know that, you know, the kids in my children, their friends, we're all looking forward to getting back to school next week.
Well, gang, it is time for us to wrap up. It's just a couple of moments away from 10 o'clock. So much to discuss this week. We could have gone for a full 3 hours, I reckon. Leah Finocchiaro, the opposition leader, always good to have you in the studio. Thank you.
Thank you so much and have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everyone.
Natasha Files, the Health Minister and Attorney General, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Wolfie.
Kezia Purick, thank you for your time this morning. And
Dr. Purick.
Good luck with the snake.
Dr. Purick, the snake wrangler.
My sister might have a slightly different story, but don't believe her.
Well, and next week, we are going to be having a very special version of the week that was, a socially or physically distanced version, but coming to you live from Parliament House because Parliament is going to be sitting next Friday, so we've made some adjustments so that we're still able to do
you
the show.
You could be the speaker, Wolfie. You could just sit in the middle there.
Casey, yeah, I might not like that.
Just to let you have a turn.
Yeah, she'd let me have a turn.
But all right.
That's going to be, I think, as I said to you before the other day, I think it's just it's a normal sitting day. It's urgent legislation that they have to pass, you know, to do with tenancy and also something to do with Treasury. But it'll be a normal day. Sadly, we can't open the galleries, but if people want to come to Parliament, then we do have the TV screen set up, and of course, you'll be there.
I'll be there. We'll be doing it live. Well, good on you. Thank you all so much for joining us this morning for the week that was. Proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions.